Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast. You are joined in your ears by no less than John Bruford, that's me, and Fintan Costello, that's him.
Hello.
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 It's a shame we can't do like a stereophonic mix and let you be in the left ear and I'll be in the right ear. That'd be awesome. I remember like mid-80s. I heard the Bangles cover of Hazy Shade of Winter, which remains one of my favorite songs. And it's like when the intro comes in and you get the drums really start banging, it does the riff in left speaker, then right speaker, and it still sounds awesome. Unless you're in my car and then it sounds shit.
But I think we'd have to do like one of those podcasts where if you play it backwards, it's some sort of satanic ritual or something. I think we'd have to go that direction with this.
Nice. No, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Although, did you ever, you might be too young for this. I remember when I was a teenager, no older than early 20s for sure. There was a documentary about two kids in one of the southern states of the US who were listening to Judas Priest records backwards. And were convinced there were messages from the devil and formed a suicide pact based on this. So, you know, this, I guess if you're gonna fuck around with guns, this is the positive way to do it. Take yourself out of the picture without hurting anybody outside of your group. But
yeah, because
it does seem a bit silly.
It was one of those kind of perfect pre-internet, like urban legends of like, if you play this song backwards or whatever it was, there was like hidden messages and...
Well, fucking Judas Priest ended up in court.
Really?
Over it. Yeah, well, one of the kids survived. having tried to take his own life with a frigging shotgun, if I remember correctly.
Fuck no.
And he appeared in the documentary. He made a real mess of himself, and he had as a result, unsurprisingly, found God, etc. But I mean, dear God, he made an absolute mess of himself. And I think it might have been his family that sued Judas Priest. So you got Rob Halford and co appearing in court and saying, "Of course, we didn't record fucking backwards messages. We like our fans alive."
The whole thing was just
absolutely insane. But it was like a whole genre of music was on trial. It was very, very strange. Obviously now you would just go and walk into your nearest, you know, religious establishment, shopping mall or school with your gun. You wouldn't just take yourself out of the picture. But back in the day, I think deranged gunmen hearing satanic lyrics just had a healthier respect for community. But speaking of southern states, we have some guests on the podcast from the Bible Belt. And as I establish when I speak to them, we are not talking about an accessory when we say that. We are joined with our second guest today, although Fintan didn't speak to them. And it's not because he's selective. Is a little bit.
I'm very judgy.
I met Chris Justice from Global Payments and
Great
Carlton
name.
Saffa. It's a fucking brilliant name, isn't it?
Mr. Justice.
I hope his middle name is Chief. God, I should have asked him what his middle name was. I bet it's Chief. It's the only name. Only middle name that makes sense.
No, or Street. Street could work.
Blind. Whoa. Yeah, there's a lot of... I've really missed a trick there. I can't believe I didn't do that. And Carlton Saffa, who's the CMO of Saracen Casino in Arkansas. It's the second time I've spoken to Carlton because I interviewed him. Do you remember we had the chap on from Inuvo, the big data dude?
Yes, I do.
Well, I met the Inuvo chap when I was interviewing him with Carlton, because Saracen uses Inuvo. And Carlton's just like, I mean, he's just one of those people who's just like furiously intelligent. So, well, I'd stopped recording, but just before everybody left the recording, he was saying to Chris, "Oh, you know, Chris, have you got somebody there I could talk to about operational stuff? I need to quiz somebody about kiosks." And it's like his brain's just constantly firing.
Yeah,
he's great. But interesting. Well, I'm not going to break the special silence that we have. I'm not going to tell you whether they watch Cobra Kai.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have to listen to the podcast yourself, Fintan.
That's a cliffhanger. All right.
And we have Melanie Ellis as our first guest, and Mel comes on to talk about, well, to play our new game.
Tell us about our new game, John.
Well, it's not an actual game, Fintan, and I'll tell you why it's not an actual game, because if it were an actual game, we would need a license from the Gambling Commission.
It's definitely not a game. It's a proof
it's
of concept.
It's not a game. There are no prizes. There are no prizes. Do you hear me?
Well, because I was thinking about the new game, and I do think it is a perfect opportunity for a little bit of listener interaction. So we get a lot of private messages, direct messages, both of us after each episode, with people saying nice things or giving feedback.
Or why don't you go and fuck yourselves?
Yeah. It's
do you
wig,
get those as well?
Yeah. Oh yeah, all the time. Like, that hair can't be real. What I'd love to see is in the comments on LinkedIn or whatever, we need additional ideas for the game. And there will be no prizes, but there will be bonus points, kudos bonus points for the funniest.
Does a kudos bonus point count as a prize? I don't know. I'm not at the Gambling Commission.
Basically a virtual high five. And we'll create a wall of fame or something. But I think our audience is incredibly intellectual. Apart from being ridiculously good looking, they are also incredibly intellectual. And I think we can crowdsource even funnier suggestions for the game.
Wow. Okay. Give it a go. I don't fancy your chances, but let's give it a go.
Let's see what happens.
But in other news, what have you been up to? Been doing a bit of CrossFit?
I have been doing a little bit of CrossFit. I'm currently sitting in Dublin. So it's, you know, nice to get home for a few days. And so I had a fantastic pint of Guinness the other day. And yeah, just kind of a little bit busy as always. And we're kind of heading into the summer season, which is a little bit quieter for us. But yeah, not much, to be honest. It's just been kind of like a pretty standard week.
Nice.
Yeah, happens. What about you?
I haven't really been doing much. I've been doing all the things I usually do. But I don't think I've done anything out of the ordinary. I've been watching Stranger Things season 4.
Nice. I haven't started that yet.
It is excellent. I mean, I saw a lot of reviews saying, well, it's just more of the same. Yeah, but if you're the same, is that good? It's fine not to deviate. Just do what you do really well. Not everything has to be completely fucking original.
Yeah.
As most successful authors will prove.
Dick Francis has entered the chat.
But it's not just Dick Francis. I mean, it's almost every one of my favorite authors who I've mentioned on this podcast, Sarah Paretsky. I mean, she's written like 23 books. Well, 22 of them are about the same character, and in only one book does she leave the city. So, you know, it can work.
Yeah.
But Stranger Things Series 4, it's shaping up really well. Struggling to stay awake at night, but it took me 3 evenings to watch one episode. But I am loving it.
That's all that matters. We're in the a pinnacle of online video content in terms of quality and stuff. So that'll all come to a crashing halt.
something of a golden age.
It is. But now that the Netflix share price has taken a hammering and reality has been reintroduced back into the markets, I think that's going to start coming to a screeching halt.
I'm mostly very happy with Netflix.
No, I agree.
Has anybody done a porn one and called it Netflix yet?
I'm sure they have. But it's actually a really fun game. But I always love the porn titles for like the movies. So like Lord of the Rings or whatever it is, and then they'll do the porn version of
Shaving Ryan's Privates. Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I think just the underappreciated creativity that goes into that. I think it's just one of these niche art forms that I've got huge, just coming up with the title, just huge respect.
I'm pretty they come up with the title first.
Oh, of course they do. Of course. And then they work backwards
the
from there.
Is broadly the same.
Yeah. It's great. It is. Yeah. It always makes me giggle like a 12-year-old.
I think, porn is a very different subject today to what it was when I was working in the adult leisure sector. But, I've probably mentioned this before, but I used to edit a DVD magazine and we had a section in the news where we would just report on the best adult movie titles that had gone through certification at the British Board of Film Classification that month. And I still remember two of my absolute favorites. They were Stop My Ass Is on Fire and that I thought this was controversial. My team didn't necessarily agree, but there was a series of films called Cum Dumpsters. And I pointed out that for a UK audience, surely they would have called it Cum Skips, because dumpster is an American term for a very specific thing. And, you know, in the UK, we don't have dumpsters.
Well, it'd be closer to a bin than it would be to a skip.
Would it though? I mean, yeah, we're talking something on a large scale industrial.
No, but a dumpster has a lid.
Yeah, it's true.
And a skip doesn't. And a skip would be significantly larger than a dumpster.
I have just remembered something. This is quite a peculiar one, but I have a friend from school who I still speak to now and again. And she used to share her dating misadventures on Facebook.
Fantastic.
And I don't know why, but I know I do. I know exactly why. Oh shit. I probably can't even go into this. Can I? And now I just remembered she was dating one of Judas Priest's sons. So a member of Judas Priest, she was dating his son. And apparently they went out a few times. She said he was quite nice, but I can't tell you any more than that.
Fair.
Also, in a metal linked thing, one day, right, I'm working on the magazine, and phone rings. Publisher answers it in his little god office, more of a church. So he answers the phone in his little church, knocks on the window. John, phone. I pick up the phone. Fucking Iron Maiden have phoned up.
No way.
No, Iron Maiden used to subscribe, and they were really big fans of the magazine. And we had reviewed a DVD, a live DVD of theirs, a month or two previously, and they'd read the review, and we had raised some questions in it about the sound mix, and they wanted to speak to the guy who'd written the review to just explain why it was the way it was.
Oh, I love that.
And he was a huge Maiden fan as well. And they just had a chat for half an hour. That's brilliant.
Amazing. I love that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I did hear, this was before
you're
I got
so rock
there,
and
but
roll.
The first magazine publisher I ever worked for, we did like computer games. So 30 years ago. And just before I started working there, Bob Monkhouse phoned. Now, to our international listeners, he was a British comedian and game show host and that kind of thing, and he was quite a character. I'm trying to think of an American equivalent. Bob Barker, maybe somebody like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That, I mean, that kind of character on TV, but was a very, very good comedian as well. And like they answer it on reception and everybody's like, nah, it's taking a piss. Somebody answers the phone and they're like, no, it's really him. And apparently they just left him on hold for an hour because everybody was like, I can't talk to him, it's Bob Monkhouse. But somebody did eventually talk to him and apparently he was very lovely and he just wanted to compliment them on their magazines. Which is just fantastically bonkers. But anyway, I digress slightly. So gambling, whew, yeah, a lot going on. I'm sorting stuff out for next episode as well.
Brilliant.
I've put a couple of feelers out. Do you know, one thing we've never asked people to do on here is either put themselves forward to come on or suggest somebody or suggest a topic they would like us to have a look at.
Oh, I like that. We could do that. Yeah. Because then we don't have to do any thinking. This could be great.
I'm a big fan of not thinking. I don't know if that shows.
We'll crowdsource it. All right.
We say crowd.
yeah, I'm manifesting.
what else did we learn this week? I learned that Uncut Gems apparently is about sports betting. Adam Sandler film. Haven't seen it.
It's fun. I've watched. I watched like the first 20 minutes of it, and it's probably the best. It's fantastic and easily Adam Sandler's best movie because he actually acts. It's fantastic.
Adam Sandler's best movie, though?
Okay. It was not your normal Adam Sandler movie. It's probably not his best movie. He's got some good movies. But
he's got some terrible ones. But let's just go all the way back to the beginning. And Happy Gilmore.
One of my favorite movies.
It's glorious. Why is it glorious, though? It's glorious, not just because Sandler is quite good in it, but because Carl Weathers is in it, and he's magnificent. We've only just begun to live. And Chris McDonald, it might actually be, it's not Chris McDonald's best movie, but it might be in his top two best performances. You don't know who I'm talking about, do you?
No idea.
Shooter McGavin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's absolutely brilliant in Happy Gilmore. I mean, he just nails it. Because you don't get the villain right in a movie like that. The movie doesn't work so well. And he pops up in some really odd stuff. He's like, he's in the Man Who Wasn't There, the Coen Brothers movie, just plays like a tarmac salesman, pops up late in the movie, has about five lines. He's still brilliant. And he pops up here and there, and he's in Requiem for a Dream. He's phenomenal in that. Playing a TV host who pops up in a lot of Ellen Burstyn's hallucinations called Taffy Tibbins. He's had an amazing career, and he's a tremendous actor. But I really do think Shooter McGavin is just brilliant. And it evidenced most in the line where he says, he says to Happy, I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. And Happy says, you eat pieces of shit for breakfast? The expression on his face there is, he nails that part. It's a good movie. Sorry, got sidetracked there. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, gambling. Shit. So we should probably get onto the episode and Melanie. And I didn't say what the game was, did I?
No, we never. We were very coy about it for some reason.
Gambling Act Review Bingo. And if you're listening to this, you can probably have already seen the card that comes with it, because we'll be putting that out.
So if you're getting this straight from your podcast feed on Spotify or Apple or whatever, go to our LinkedIn page. Give it a like, and you can download the bingo card there. And then if you've come from LinkedIn through to the podcast, then obviously you've already bypassed it, and make sure you download your copy so you can play along. And then for everybody, if you've got a better idea for one of the squares, drop it in the comments or send us a private message if you're a little bit shy. And we will take the best ones and do something with it.
So anyway, on with the episode.
Yeah, I'm with the episode. Enjoy.
We've only just begun to live. We move to our first guest. Yeah, it's our first guest on this episode. We might have two, we might have three. Who knows? We certainly don't. Although I don't want to give anybody the impression that we're winging it. We are joined by the excellent Melanie Ellis of Northridge Law. Mel, how many letters do you have after your name?
I haven't counted. I've got no idea, actually.
Now's your chance.
But I don't know. I mean, at least two, but... I don't know.
The clock's ticking, Mel. I mean, if you're charging by the 6 minutes, the clock is ticking.
I'm still counting.
And probably additional for every reply. It's probably an additional fee per word that you reply with. Mel, thanks for coming back. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. It's very good to be back.
Is it though?
Well, it was until you started asking me tricky questions about that. Yeah. I've got no idea about.
I'm gonna ask you some easy questions now.
Yeah.
So Mel is joining us today to speculate wildly about the Gambling Act review in the UK. It's imminent, we think. It might turn out, Mel, here's a question for you. Could it be that the Gambling Act review is the industry's equivalent of the boogeyman, and it's just been introduced in order to stop us sleeping at night?
So that we stay awake refreshing the DCMS page, trying to see if they're going to release it.
Pretty much.
And they don't. Yeah. I mean, it is now looking really like they might actually publish it. Maybe this week, maybe next week. And I hope it doesn't happen before you publish this podcast, or we're all going to look a bit silly.
Are we though? Because I've got a game. What we're going to do today is we are going to create the game Gambling Act Review Bingo.
Okay.
And this is where the three of us, Fintan is here, I promise. The three of us come up with all of the phrases, all of the things that we think might be in there, the things that are completely mental that could be in there. The more bonkers, the better, so that people can create a line or, you know, possibly even get a house. Are there any prizes? Probably not. We might do an actual bingo card. We might not. So eyes down, look in. Gambling Act Review Bingo.
Please play responsibly.
Yeah, obviously, when the fun stops. Oh, no, don't take me too literally on that one, because somebody would have stopped already because they're not having fun yet. So anyway, so let's start with the really obvious shit, the low-hanging fruit. Now, that would be the things that let's think of this as Daily Mail front covers.
Shirt sponsorship would be the obvious
shirt sponsorship,
one.
I would say, is going to be front and center in this, and it's the easiest headline of the lot.
Although it does, from recent comments, it does look a bit like that might be left out of the review now if some sort of voluntary agreement is finalized with Premier League football clubs. So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily put that one in the center of the grid.
But it's so easy. But Fintan.
No, I was going to say, well, then affordability checks would be the next on the list, right?
It's going to be high.
Yeah, I do think they'll put something in about that. Again, it's a bit of a tricky one because I'm not sure the government is necessarily going to want to, you know, come down with a figure to say you must do an affordability check at this level. It may come in sort of slightly sideways if they're going to put in perhaps stake limits for online slots. It's possible that will be, you know, this is your stake limit unless the operator has done an affordability check. So it might come in that way.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting little sidestep. Just maybe a little thought, maybe it is, it's probably way too late in the day to think this, but with the we are barely confident in you as a leader vote this week, I wonder if he might start looking for a distraction scapegoat and jump on the next thing that's going to come out, which might be this, and try to reverse his waning popularity by kicking a puppy, the puppy being the gambling industry. Just throwing it out there, it's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a massive prick. That is, I said is, not has.
But does it give him what he needs? So if you look at like when he does distract, like when he does that kind of chaff level distraction, like the bringing back Imperial measurements was last week, right? Is coming down tough on the gambling industry going to give him enough?
It will be part of a package. It will be part of a package, but a package is coming. But it's so easy for government, as we've seen it decade after decade. It's super, super easy for any government to crack down on the gambling industry because I think largely because they don't understand it.
There have been quite a few comments from ministers along the lines of striking a balance with the rights of people to enjoy gambling in a safe way, and also I think an awareness of the jobs that the industry creates in the UK and the tax revenues and so on. So yes, while it might be helpful headline for Boris, I'm sort of slightly hopeful that it's not going to be a complete puppy kicking scenario when it comes out. But that certainly the government will try and spin it in a way that's useful to them.
Is it possible that we might see a sudden complete about face in the industry where in the style of Russia, what was that like 15 years ago, 10 years ago? I can't remember. They suddenly said, right, you can have all the gambling places you want, but they can't be within 50 meters of a school or a church. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to Moscow, but there are schools and churches every 40 meters. I'm putting this down on my bingo because this could be the thing that stops me having to pay out if somebody gets a house.
Well, there'll be other, like, what about a tax raise? So increase taxes. Nobody's going to have any sympathy for the industry for that. Would be an easy one. Cut back on the sponsorship and the TV advertising. And then there'll be a massive carve out for the horse racing industry.
Yeah. That's one thing that hasn't really been in the speculation is an increase in the tax rates for gambling, and the online casino tax rate was increased a few years ago. But what does look quite likely is more of a statutory levy for the problem gambling research and treatment and so on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But let's not forget that certain people did say, well, problem gambling research, etc., can't be funded by the industry.
Yeah, but yeah. Once the check shows up, they'll be fine. The other one then will be the equalizing land-based and online. So whatever the restrictions are for the land-based in terms of max stakes.
As I mentioned with the affordability, it seems like that may well be something that will be in there, but it might be that those stakes are what's in place until an affordability check's completed. But yeah, that's...
What if that's the other way around? What if that's actually, because if you bring online into line with land-based in terms of game speed, that's a pretty big change. It really is quite a significant change because the limits on roulette are pretty stringent on land-based. I can't remember the exact timings, etc., but it's nowhere near as fast as you can play online, which is always the big issue with FOBTs. even though essentially it is a random number generator in the exact same way as any slot is fundamentally.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it might be the other way around and land-based might be brought into line with online. And so they'll be able to play as fast as they friggin' like.
Yeah, so they already introduced the restrictions on the spin speed on slot games as a recent change. I can't see any sort of lightening of the restrictions in land-based.
Picture this, Mel. Picture what this means for recruitment. Ambidextrous dealers will be like gold. Because they can have a wheel on each hand and they'd just be spinning. It'd be like watching a DJ. If anybody from TCS is listening, I want royalties.
Well, we had that.
One thing I'd like to, maybe not the ambidextrous dealers, but what I would like to see for the land-based casinos is a review of the areas where they're allowed to be located. And that's certainly overdue. When they introduced the sort of 8 large and 8 small casinos in the 2005 Act, it was supposed to be a sort of an experiment to see what the regeneration benefits were, and then they bring further ones in. And obviously that's now been nearly 15 years since that came into force, and the casinos are still stuck in those areas, some of which just aren't viable for a casino, and other areas like Blackpool are crying out for the possibility to open a casino.
There's some lovely casinos surrounded by car dealerships that I've been to. And you just think, wow, I feel your pain. You've just put all this money into your casino and all this money into recruitment and training and all of this money into marketing. And you're, hoping for foot traffic from the Renault dealership opposite?
Yeah, exactly. And in a way, the old system made a lot more sense, where if you could show there was demand for a new casino in a particular area, then you're entitled to have one. Rather than
so that was a pre-2005 licensing thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you when we had Simon Thomas on week before last, and he was said when they were putting in for their application in London, there had to be exceptional circumstances, and part of it is they had to prove that there was a demand for what they were suggesting.
Yeah.
And that they were identifying a sector that was not being catered for.
Yeah.
But that was post 2005. So, I mean, that worked for them, or is that just like a central London thing?
So in central London, because there was a lot of existing casinos, it is possible to move them from one area to another. And then it may potentially have been the sort of planning permission he was talking about. I'm not sure. There was a couple of years after 2005 before the new system came into force when the remaining remaining licenses were.
I think they developed it for 3 years, and it's 10 years old this year, so we're going back 13 years, so there might have been a bit of grandfathering. I don't know.
It may have happened, as I say, just before the 2005 Act came into force. Anyway.
One of the other things Simon mentioned was, I think on his Christmas wish list would be increase in the number of slot machines for land-based.
Everybody I've spoken to on the land-based side is very confident about that.
Okay. So if you take the, equalizing online stake limits to match offline and then increasing the number of slot machines for the land-based guys, I would argue that the winners out of this are going to be the land-based guys.
There is this disparity with these grandfathered 1968 Act casinos in terms of what they're permitted to do compared to the 2005 Act casinos. So it would be logical to bring them a bit more into line with each other. Although that's a difficult one for the government presentationally, isn't it? To say we're increasing the number of slot machines on the high street.
Well, yeah, but the easy way to cushion that particular blow is simply that is to present it as the overall number, because, you know, there's what, 120 odd casinos in the UK. It's just probably more than that. But it's not a huge amount more than that.
It's around that, maybe 130. Yeah.
So, you know, if not all of those have 25 in, you know, we're not talking about an absolutely massive increase, but the potential that that has for the bottom line, and actually to save some casinos that might otherwise, because people are still struggling, that could be absolutely huge for the industry. And I'm not even talking about a big increase. An extra 10 slots would be massive.
That would be a helpful thing to see. I just worry about whether the government would be too concerned about the headlines. You know, they were supposed to be reviewing the Gambling Act to protect people, and instead they're just bringing in more slot machines. Interesting to see if they manage to get something like that in without creating that type of headline.
Well, the only way they're going to get something like that in is by beating with the stick that the carrot is attached to. So there's going to be, I wonder if, so people that I'm talking to on the land-based side are pretty confident that it's the online side that's going to take a beating, and the people on the online side are pretty confident the land-based side's going to take a beating. I think my hunch is that the online side is going to take the kicking.
For sure.
And that this additional slots, which I do think is likely, I think that will slide under the radar, covered by the kicking that online's going to take.
Agreed.
But yeah, who knows? we have a prime minister who brushes his hair with fucking Pritt stick. So it's like, it's anybody's guess what's going to come out of this. So Gambling Act review, bingo. We've got shirt sponsorship, affordability checks, Bojo attacks, a total ban, a tax raise, land online equity, additional slots. I'm going to get a wipe clean version of this made, because obviously we need it again in another 5 to 10 years.
well, there's obviously the Gambling Commission to think about as well.
That's a good one.
I mean, like early on there was discussion of, is it just going to be scrapped altogether? But that really doesn't seem to be the case.
But it's not self-financing, is it? I mean, that's got to be its goal, right?
Yes, I mean, it's funded by license fees, and they've gone up recently, or are going up. And they've set aside, I think it's around $1 million for investment that they're going to need to make to address new requirements from the Gambling Act review. And it looks like they're going to be expected to do a lot more monitoring and analysis of gambling data from operators.
And they're going to pay for that with $1 million.
They're going to pay for that with the license fee increase. Potentially, they might be given a bit more power to set their own license fees in the future, rather than that being done by the government.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that? There was a lot of talk earlier about potentially a gambling ombudsman, and that's gone quiet from what I can see.
That's a good shout, because that every time it is mentioned, I'm like, how is there not already one?
Yeah, no one seems to be against that idea.
That's surely the absolute basis. So I was writing my editorial column this week for Casino International, and I was a little bit critical of what's been going on in Australia, because, you know, it's not like just one person in an organization knows about money laundering. There's so many checks and balances to meet your AML requirements for your license that it blows my mind how that went on. But what I said in the editorial column is very simply, regardless of regulation, we can hold ourselves to higher standards. And we should hold ourselves to higher standards. So there's no reason that an ombudsman couldn't already exist, regardless of regulation. Because if we've embraced it and we've said, you know what, that's a really good idea, because it works in so many other industries. And the public understands it as a process, So let's jump on that and let's get that done. Then what you've done is you've stayed ahead of the curve and you've limited governmental interference in policy that they should be setting. Don't get me wrong. But you've said, look, you know what? We're doing the things that we can do.
Mm.
But we're not. And an ombudsman, it's like the basics.
Yeah. Yeah. So it would take a lot of pressure off the Gambling Commission as well, who spend, I think, a decent amount of time fielding complaints from players and having to redirect them.
Well, just imagine how differently the fallout would be for the government and the Gambling Commission for that. What was that football trading nonsense that people invested their life savings in for reasons I do not understand?
Football Index.
Yes. Now, I appreciate that the people that lost their money are probably a lot smarter than I am. I looked at that and I thought, I don't get it. I don't know why you'd even touch it with a shitty stick, but that's me. But imagine how much easier that would be governmentally and for the Gambling Commission with an ombudsman. I mean, it just goes straight to the ombudsman. Ta-da!
Yeah, so, we'd have to see, you know, what exactly the ombudsman's remit would be and, you know, what type of complaints and disputes they could help with.
They get a big stick with nails in and all poo on the end of the nails.
Yeah. So, that might be. I think that's a good one for the bingo card. That might be.
Hose down.
Review still. Gambling Commission having to do a bit more work in terms of monitoring what operators are up to.
Instead of just sitting there in their ivory tower using their elephant horn back scratchers.
Yeah. And the other one I would mention is I wonder if they will introduce some measures to try and counteract the black market, perhaps IP blocking or payment blocking measures as some other jurisdictions have done.
That's a good one.
But it needs to be shorter to fit in a square on Gambling Act Review Bingo.
Black market.
The other one is they just realize this is too much hassle and they kick it down the road for another indefinite period of time.
Oh, I like that one. That's a good square. That is. I hope I get that one.
Yeah, I think it's anticipated to be a white paper that the government released, so setting out potentially some draft legislation and inviting comments on it, but they may take a bit more of a step back and release what's a bit more like a consultation exercise, so not actually proposing any legislation, but just some policy ideas for further discussion, which I would have the effect of sort of kicking it down the lane a bit further.
Mm.
I can actually really see that happening as well.
Yeah.
Which would be disappointing because you just want to be like, all right, just show us what's what so we can get cracking.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at this point, operators just want some certainty as to, you know, what the changes are going to be, what they're going to need to do, and, you know, even does it remain a viable market to operate in for some operators. I think we do need some certainty, and hopefully there'll be some draft legislation and there'll be some perhaps suggestions for the Gambling Commission in terms of that this is how you should beef up the RCCP. And then the Gambling Commission can crack on with its consultation exercises on those aspects.
So in short, we don't know anything and anything could... Oh, here's one. What if the Gambling Commission turn out to be lizards wearing human masks?
That's possible.
I'm joking.
Do you still need another square to fill? I think maybe we could come up with something.
Hang on. We need an even number, don't we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sorry, that one killed me.
12. Well, we've got an even number now, so we need either another 2 or we could just end it on 12. We can have what would that be, a 4x3 grid?
So give us a list. What have we got? Run down the
shirt
list.
Shirt sponsorship. And the reason that shirt sponsorship, I reckon, is going to happen is because it largely affects non-UK companies and companies that don't necessarily have a gambling commission license.
And the football teams won't care because they're going to make all that crypto money in the meantime. So there's sponsors ready to go, right? So
shirt sponsorship, affordability checks, Boris Johnson attacks, a total ban. I should put re-church plus schools. Tax raise. Parity between online and land-based. Additional slots. Legs 11, online walloped. Two fat ladies, ombudsman. Clickety-click, black market. All the ones, kick it down the road. The Gambling Commission are lizards. That's our 12 for a Gambling Commission bingo.
We could maybe get rid of the lizards and perhaps put single customer view in there instead.
Oh, well, how could we forget single customer view? I think we keep the lizards. Add single customer view and think of another one as well.
TV advertising ban.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, you know, they've been doing the whistle-to-whistle one.
Full-on ban. No TV advertising.
That would be really interesting. I wonder if you'd see Ray Winston resume his acting career. Well, I've got to make some money, haven't I?
It would make good headlines for the government. I think with their sort of thinking about the black market, I feel that a TV advertising ban isn't going to happen, just because without any real advertising pushing people towards the licensed operators, and that there's just a risk that people will just be Googling and finding themselves on all sorts of unlicensed websites.
The counter to that would be, if I was one of the really large operators that's put billions into TV advertising for the last number of years, I'd be delighted, because it would make it much harder for new brands. And people are lazy and they're just going to go back to their, you know, whichever brand they're. But I get you. I actually think the operators themselves wouldn't be that upset. The big ones. I think the small, medium guys are done for, but then they're probably not doing as much TV anyway, because it's expensive. But I think it actually creates the incumbents actually get a huge benefit from that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's something else as well. And I was thinking about this the other day. I saw something that I think it was Matt Zarb Cousin put on Twitter. One of the gambling charities had pitch side banner advertising at one of the matches recently.
Oh, nice.
Which I don't think had been done before. But could that be regarded as a potential trigger in an environment where there is no gambling advertising? Could A, if you're having a problem with gambling, be a trigger for somebody? Would that be banned as well?
No.
You say that, but do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, but then anything's a trigger.
I've just been reading a book about a guy struggling with alcoholism, and I wanted a fucking drink when I was reading it, and it wasn't because it was a shit book. Although, no, it wasn't a shit book at all. But I mean, I haven't had a drink in coming up 5 years now. But like, I was thinking I could just have like 12 cans. And I'm never triggered by this shit. Never, ever. But suddenly it was the strangest thing. And what I was reading about was somebody struggling with alcoholism. So I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So, you know what I mean? A trigger can be anywhere.
Yeah, so I think that's certainly true, that somebody just reminded about the fact that they could bet on the football match they're watching could be enough to to trigger a relapse.
But then you could argue even just watching a football match is a trigger, and then where does it end, right?
So should I add full sports ban?
Yeah,
Just saying.
I think it's fair that possibly any advertising ban could be extended beyond just front of shirt sponsorship, because yeah, you're right that if you ban front of shirt sponsorship, you'll start seeing gambling adverts on, you know, on the shorts or on the, you know, perimeter boards or, you know, elsewhere in the stadium.
Mm.
Or, and here's what they would pay an absolute premium for: on the players' bodies. So when they score, they have to accept a booking because they take their shirt off to show the advert.
Oh, the tattoo on the stomach.
Mate, I wasn't even thinking of a tattoo. Well, I was thinking maybe henna. But you've taken that a step further there, Mel. We're very moderate as hosts, but you're living on the edge. Single customer view. I think single customer view as an idea is what will see this being a white paper rather than anything etched in stone. I think that the potential for that, I think it's an attractive thing for government. I think it's an attractive thing for any regulator. And I think that because it's such a massive thing to do, that's what we'll see this just be a bunch of guidelines to be acted on in a couple of years, maybe, when single customer view might be realised.
Yeah, the Gambling Commission and the BGC are already taking this forward. So it seems like something that would be mentioned in whatever's published by the government. But yeah, as you say, it potentially doesn't need to be in any legislation.
No, it'll be in the and here are our recommendations, and we'll have a full review in 2 years when you've had time to do it. That'd be great. Thanks. Right, Mel, thank you for joining us. One last thing before you go. Stranger Things season 4. Whew, what do you think?
I couldn't comment on it.
Why? Do you work for them?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, dear.
Jesus.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, I think we should just leave it there, John. I think that's...
I'll go away and watch.
You have a big think. You have a big think about it, okay? Just really think about your actions, Mel.
And about your future. But just before we go, Mel, I don't know if we've asked you this before. Have you seen Cobra Kai?
No.
Fucking hell.
You need to send me some links, you...
Mel. Okay, well, thanks so much for joining us, Mel.
I'll get onto Netflix now.
I think that would be best for everybody.
Okay.
And we move on to our second guests or our second and third guest? I don't know. But we move on to our next people that we're talking to. Although Fintan is not here. There are many complex reasons for that, but I think we just need to say Fintan's not here because he's very busy and very important. Just me, John, with the elegantly named Chris Justice, President, Global Payments Gaming Services, and the eminently likable Carlton Saffa, CMO of Saracen Casino, Arkansas. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks, John.
So just so that our listeners can know who's who, Carlton, speak, please.
This is Carlton. You can tell from the Arkansas accent.
Yeah, to be fair, you'd have to know it's an Arkansas accent.
Yeah, it's not exactly world-renowned, but we talk kind of funny. So the one that talks kind of funny is Carlton.
Okay, and Chris.
Well, I was going to say it might be a toss-up since I'm originally from Tennessee, so I've got a little bit of an accent myself. But
I got to tell you, Chris, I did that on purpose to see if people could pick the difference between Tennessee and Arkansas, and I don't think they can.
No, because we both have the same problem. If you get divorced, are you still brother and sister?
That's right.
I hear you. Stop me if I'm wrong here. My U.S. geography is about as good as anybody else that isn't in the U.S. Are both of your home states in what's called the Bible Belt?
Yes, sir.
And do you actually have a belt made of Bibles, or is that just some kind of myth?
Well, I guess I would say that Tennessee is really the buckle of the belt. So I've got a Bible buckle.
Does it? Do your Bible trousers fall down when you leave the Bible belt?
Oh. Hey, I'll tell you this. You know, we are in the Bible Belt, but we're SEC states, and Tennessee's our neighbor to the east. Mississippi and Tennessee are our eastern neighbors, and no matter what you're talking about, we're SEC. I mean, I've been in political conversations with folks and sort of backslid into Southeastern Conference conversations because that is the geography of this part of the country. We define our geography by collegiate athletic conference. So yeah, it's the Bible Belt, but really it's the SEC. So you got two types of places, SEC places and non-SEC places.
And ultimately all conversations relate back to football, basketball, baseball, and other sports.
Yeah, seriously, I gave an interview years ago. It was a political interview with the New York Times, and we were talking about Republicans and Democrats and changes, and I somehow start defining the politics of the United States on football conference lines. It's absolutely true. And, you know, what a world. I'm now in the business of football betting. But hey, yeah, Bible Belt's one way to look at it. We think of ourselves as the SEC schools and the SEC states and the SEC people.
That was a lot of detail, I got to say. All I really want to know is, do you two watch Cobra Kai?
I have not had the opportunity to watch it, at least not since Ralph Macchio was a kid.
You know, I'm familiar with it. I need to catch up. There's a new season out, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was out Christmas, I think.
Well, you know, I've been busy with this sports book, so hey, Christmas is somewhat urgent for me. Yeah, you know, I devoted the couple hours I had for TV to the latest season of Ozark. But I'll tell you what, I'll make you a commitment. I'll hit the new season of Cobra Kai tonight.
That is very kind, and I appreciate that.
Yep.
But we're just doing a straw poll in the gambling industry to see if Netflix are fudging their numbers, and so far they are lying through their teeth.
You know what? I watched Netflix last night. I watched an old movie. And who knew Netflix still had old movies? I watched Heist, the old Gene Hackman movie, right? Great film.
Wow.
Yeah. Heist, 2001. Great. They don't make movies like that anymore.
I swear there's a lot of odd things hidden on Netflix, and it's really hard to find stuff. The algorithm's all well and good, but actually, yeah, I've got fairly varied tastes, and it just seems to roll off whatever I watch last. So, you know, it's just trashy horror.
We watched Den of Thieves last night on Netflix, and that's another great flick that's got a couple of really interesting plot thicks or twists. Worth watching.
I've seen it. It's kind of like a modern heist. And boy, that's a gun movie. For gun nuts, that is a gun movie.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. There'll never be a better one than Heat, though. Val Kilmer, Al Pacino, the best gun movie there ever was.
But also Heat, and this is a deeply underrated reason for loving Heat, because I can take or leave Michael Mann's movies. But Heat is the only movie where you can see Val Kilmer's giant purple elbow growth.
So I'm kind of freaked out right now because I don't know what you're talking about. And I know that I'm going to Google it when we get done talking. And I'm not sure what I'm going to find.
Val Kilmer genuinely does have a growth on his elbow. And you don't see it in any other movie he's ever made that I am aware of. But you can see it in Heat.
So this is either a really elaborate punt and you've totally got me tricked, or I've just learned something I had no idea.
Give it a look. Honestly, it's a very, when you notice it, you'll be like, oh.
All right. So I'm going to watch Cobra Kai tonight, and I'm going to see what I can find out about Mr. Kilmer's purple elbow.
Seriously, I am not fucking with you even slightly.
Okay. Does it have a name?
Irwin,
probably,
I think.
Cancer, right? Isn't that... That's part of the reason that he doesn't act
no,
any
this,
longer, right?
This way predates all of his health issues. Way, way predates. This is entirely unrelated as far as I'm aware.
Chris, it goes by Mel. It's short for melanoma.
Ah. It's definitely not.
Everybody needs a nickname.
It's because it's purple. But anyway, I digress. Because actually, Carlton, you gave us a nice little segue in there when you were like, well, I haven't watched Cobra Kai because I've been working on this sports betting app, which is the reason why we're here to talk. Because, to borrow a headline from your fine and lovely PR folk, Saracen Casino Resort has selected Global Payments iGaming Solutions to look and launch Arkansas's first sports betting app.
Hey.
It's pretty exciting.
Been a lot of work, you know. First of all, I'm a homer for Arkansas. I love my state. I grew up in Oklahoma. I moved here when I was 18 to go to the University of Arkansas. Go Hogs. Had a heck of a baseball game last night as we record this. We're fresh off the Hogs going to regionals in baseball. But I'm proud of my state, and I'm proud of the fact that we are never afraid to do things our own way. The state has led in far more boring topics like healthcare policy and other issues for many, many years. But the state took some interesting construction when it came time to put the lumber up to build sports betting. We used a unique form of construction with a rule that essentially said that the casinos must remain in the driver's seat, that they can't simply cede the license over to a third-party operator. And, you know, without boring you with all those details, unless you want to dive into them, I will tell you that allowed us the opportunity to open this thing and open it in our own way. So first things first, Arkansas legalized sports betting, and then within months was live. And I don't have to tell to y'all or the folks who might be listening to this that that's like Operation Warp Speed. You know, I saw recently my friend Larry Henry over at gambling.com published a piece that said Ohio was like, I think, 7 months to launch. Louisiana took over a year to launch. And I was in Shreveport over the weekend, and I noticed at least one major corporate casino in Shreveport has still not launched their sports book. You know, you look at other states, and they're over a year. Tennessee, my buddy Chris's home state, they were over a year from legalization to launch, and we did it in 3 months. So, hey, I'm proud. And we did it in a way that was Arkansas first, that kept the casinos in control. You know, casino gaming is new to Arkansas, legalized only a few years ago with Amendment 100. Prior to that, we had horse racing, dog racing, and electronic games of skill. With the legalization of casino gaming Amendment 100, sports betting's legal. And we've been taking retail sports bets for some time. But the recent move by the Arkansas Racing Commission, which is the casino regulator, to allow sports betting in a mobile environment. And I think their very wise decision to say the casinos must be in charge. They can't delegate, the skin in the game, so to speak, to a third party made sense. And I'll end my first salvo of remarks by saying this. We had three must do things on a marker board in the office. One was build a quality product. And the basis for that was pretty simple. We were told quite literally that a casino without a nationally branded partner could not build a first-class product. Well, don't tell me I can't do something. That's like jet fuel to me, right? So build a first-class quality product. That was number one for us. But a close number two and number three were easy frictionless deposits, or as close to that as we can get in this highly regulated space, and easy frictionless withdrawals. And so two of the three subjects that were must-haves for us, you know, like a car, right? You got to have a steering wheel, you got to have wheels, you got to have a brake, you got to have a gas pedal. You know, if you got to have the must-haves, we had three must-haves: good product, good deposits, good withdrawals. And for two of my three must-haves, we knew the other gentleman that you're about to talk to was who we had to talk to. And talking to payment providers was critical. We had a relationship prior, but even if we hadn't, I know we would have landed exactly where we did with Chris and his crew. So, you know, Chris, I'll tell you, two of my three checklist items, y'all were able to help me check off pretty quickly.
Well, I appreciate it, my brother. And, you know, frankly, one of the things that excited us about working with you guys, right, is as we worked with you to launch the property there in Pine Bluff, right, you've built an amazing team that knows how to build brands from out of nothing. And you've built a strong physical presence. Certainly, you've built a strong online presence through the partnerships that you've got with the Razorbacks and the Trojans and the Red Wolves and the other, you know, the other local sports teams there. And candidly, right, one of the things that has most impressed me about you and some of the other conversations that we've had, right, is your whole discussion around, right, built by Arkansas, built for Arkansas. Really, it's a local book driven by local results. And it's, to me, that's just a very unique thing from a sports betting platform, sports betting app, that it's, you really put your customers very, very first. And it really, I think what you do is really exemplified that time and time again. So it's really been great to work with you and your team.
Thank you. You know, Arkansas is bigger than its footprint. We're the smallest state west of the Mississippi River. Here we are back to geography. Relatively small state, but really interesting state. You think of the things that have come out of Arkansas from, you know, no less than Walmart or Tyson Chicken or J.B. Hunt and, you know, on and on and on, right? I mean, you've got the biggest oil driller really off the coast of Asia is a company from a small town in South Arkansas, Murphy Oil. I mean, there's all these incredible, really superlatives coming out of Arkansas. And I'm not suggesting that we're a superlative by any stretch of the imagination, but Arkansas is bigger than its footprint and we can produce good stuff. And when we heard again from the national operators that you needed somebody in Boston at the helm or someone, you know, in New York at the helm, it just sort of drove me crazy. And so maniacally, to the point of not being able to watch Cobra Kai or even knowing when the new season came out, this is what we had our mind on. And you're right. You know, our product is Arkansas through and through, even to the point that we've got 5 ads in rotation right now, all featuring famous former Arkansas athletes, including a friend of mine, a fellow named U.S. Reed, who hit a buzzer beater shot, probably the biggest buzzer beater in Arkansas sports fan history. It was an old one, but it's one people recognize. But yeah, we built this brand. Saracen's only about 2.5 years old. We built this brand against our nearest competitor, who is over 100 years old, between horse racing and electronic games of skill, and very pleased with our numbers and our results. But yeah, don't tell me Arkansas can't do something first class, because, you know, we're at Red Bull and stay up all night to prove you wrong. And I will tell you that VIP was a big part of getting that done. Global was a big part of it. Again, they were 2 of my 3 must-have items. And to that, I say hats off to your team for delivering. I can't speak to the minutia of all of the omni-channel, you know, whatchamacallit thingamadoodles that y'all make work for us. But what I know is what I hear from our players is that they like our app. And to that, I say thank you, Chris, and thank you what y'all are doing.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Well, it's a hell of a mutual loving you're having, and I'm sorry to interrupt in some ways.
About to propose.
But it's nice to hear 2 men being so open with their feelings, because so often we're told to bottle these things up and to really just, you know, to man up, etc. And I appreciate this. I just wanted to tell you both. Couple of things that I'm curious about. You mentioned that the SEC thing. Just to clarify, is it legal to bet on college sports?
I hope so.
Because college sports are still amateur, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I'm teasing when I say I hope so. Yes, it is. You know, different states have different regulations. In Arkansas, we have some really strong responsible gaming regs, and we have specific parameters around athlete and associated party wagers. So, for example, the coach can't make a bet or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. But you get even more. I'm going to use a $5 word here. You get into even more asinine rules in other states, right? Some states have rules like you can bet an in-state team, but only if it's an away game or something like that. There's all these head scratcher rules. But I think Arkansas did this the right way, not only with the 51 rule, but they said, look, you know, if people are going to fix games, they're going to fix games. We're going to do everything we can to prohibit any kind of game fixing. And, you know, knock on wood, we've been free of scandal really in this country for a significant period of time. But they recognized that these thread the needle rules, like some states say, well, you can't do a in-state home game, but away is fine. Or, you know, you can bet this here on this day with a blue moon, but not that. No, in Arkansas, you can bet both college and pro. And this is not what you asked me, but I'll tell you, we've tried to really double down on that. And we've generated lines on things that, you know, to some folks, they would sort of scratch their head and say, why? So, for example, the Arkansas girls softball team developed quite a cult following. They were pretty darn good team. They were sort of, we were all sort of shocked that they didn't end up making it further than they did in the tournament. But we had tremendous interest from Arkansas to develop softball lines. So we did, right? Girls softball lines on a sports betting app. But it's what Arkansans wanted to wager on, and so we were willing to do it. So to answer your question, you can absolutely bet on Southeastern Conference games to the point that when we can't even get lines from our data providers, we create them, like in the event of Arkansas girls softball.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, that's I would assume that normally, even if there was a bit of local interest, most providers would be like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. You know, because it's a lot of effort.
You know, listen to your customers. They'll tell you what they want. And if you can't provide it, someone will. And so we you know, now I will tell you, we can't do everything. You know, we had a guy who wanted a really extremely strange prop wager on a soccer game. I mean, it was odd. And you know, it was not something that we wanted to do, but look,
you can share it with us. We won't tell anybody.
I don't even remember exactly. It was like, will this guy cross this goal threshold in this particular game? And I mean, we couldn't find any sports book in America that had that prop. So, you know, within reason, but look, let me level set this. We don't have any professional teams in Arkansas. Zero. We have some semi-pro minor league baseball, but other than that, we have no pro teams. But we do have this amazing juggernaut called the Arkansas Razorbacks. So, for example, in Oklahoma, you have Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. In Texas, you have the Longhorns, you have A&M, and you have the Red Raiders at Texas Tech, and on and on and on. In Arkansas, you have the Hogs, and the Saracen name is all over everything Razorback. They even painted the Saracen name on their dugouts. You know, the same for basketball. In football, there's six big banners that hang near the Jumbotron. Saracen is one of them, right next to Farm Bureau and the state's biggest investment bank. So we're deeply embedded in that. Same thing, though, for the Sun Belt, our friends at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. And it's a great college, but a lot of Red Wolves fans root for the Razorbacks as well. So we try to be the homers. Arkansas is our pro team. I'm very fond of saying this. We stand a little taller and smile a little more when the Hogs have won. And that's why I'm smiling today, because as I said, they won last night. But our relationship with them is not just financial in terms of Saracen's support, but there's branding all over that property. So when we hear that people want to be able to bet women's sports, softball, we're all over it. So it was a no-brainer for us to create that one.
How did the relationship between Global Payments and Saracen come about? You did mention that you knew Chris beforehand, but how? What's going on there? I mean, are you cousins?
Well, we're all cousins in the Southeast. No, Global's done a lot for us in the traditional gaming space on the slot floor. And, you know, to me, they are the brand leader, right? I mean, there's a term for this. I'm sure we could Google it. But when you use a brand name in lieu of the product. So people say Kleenex instead of tissue. People say Xerox instead of copy. You know, in the South, everything's a Coke. You want a Coke? Yeah. What do you want? I'll have a Pepsi. You know, what do you want? I'll have a Mountain Dew. Coke is the placeholder for soda or pop or whatever you may call it in other parts of the world. But to me, Global is sort of the placeholder for casino payment processing. And so our relationship with them began with our slot floor. So we've got about 2,000 slot machines, 45 table games. We have an 80,000 square foot slot floor. And Global is our partner in everything on that. So it was just a natural extension that we would move to them with, you know, what I consider Saracen's e-commerce platform, our statewide mobile application. It was a no-brainer. And I said this earlier, but even if we weren't using them on the floor, I think we would have ended up with them in the mobile space simply because their reputation, their strength, you know, Fortune 500 company, if I'm not mistaken, they're the 800 pound gorilla in this space. And that's for a reason. It's because they are first class.
Chris, I do have a question. Just bear with me. So Carlton said you guys are their sort of payment providers for the gaming floor, you know, payment processing for the gaming floor in the bricks and mortar casino. What is the actual core of the global payments company? I mean, because most companies, they specialize one side or the other. Are you saying you are everything to all men?
Well, I think relative to the gaming space, I think we're the only true omni-channel provider in the space. Omni-channel really being defined as helping the consumer be able to participate in commerce across any channel they want to be. So we are a dominant provider in the online mobile sports betting world, where we supply services to the majority of all of the players there. Likewise, we provide services to more than 400 brick and mortar casinos across the country. What makes us unique in the ability to provide kind of the hardware, software, and services to drive commerce is our platform enables the consumer to register once. And so when they register once, they can use that profile anywhere and everywhere they need to be in order to gain access to the funds that they're looking to move. So that does a variety of things, especially as you think about the Bet Saracen app, so that as Saracen's Casino is building its brand locally, consumers or the patrons that are there participating on the gaming floor, as they sign up with Saracen, as they enroll, the enrollment that they have there is then seamlessly useful going into the online and mobile sports betting space. So what that really does is it eliminates the kind of friction that typically kills an app. No different than friction kills e-commerce transactions. The more keystrokes you require, the higher the cart abandonment. So we really focus on the delivery of a really tremendous guest experience, whether that is in the physical casino or in the online world, by minimizing those keystrokes and allowing a much more frictionless access, which does meet with consumer expectations, right? Everywhere else that you would expect, right? You go to Amazon, you go to any kind of company where you shop frequently, they have figured out a way to eliminate the friction to allow you to participate and enjoy the reason that you're there, right? Because let's face it, right? We're not egotistical to think that the reason people are going to Saracen is to deposit their money and get their withdrawals. No, it's they want an easy, frictionless way to participate online, to bet women's softball, to bet all of the other interesting bets that Carlton and him's team are formulating for the guests. So we want to support everything that he's doing in a way that delivers a much better guest experience for all of the players that are showing up there to participate.
So, you know, if you think about this, the functions that Chris and his team provide are sort of like a utility, right? I mean, when you have a really good electric provider that doesn't have brownouts or blackouts, and we don't have to deal with that stuff in Arkansas, thank God, but I know folks in other states do, you don't really think about them. But you do have to, you know, pick the first one. You have to pick right. And the regulators that make those decisions and the folks with all the degrees that monitor that have to keep an eye on it. But, you know, nobody's ever thankful for their electric company. They just cuss them when they don't work. But it's very important that you pick the right one, or you'll be cussing them. And so to Chris's point, yeah, we can market ourselves to pieces and come up with creative bets and brand ourselves as, you know, Arkansas to the core. But if people come to our app, they're wowed by the, you know, bet options. They love the look of the interface. They love our TV ads. They're excited about it. And they go to put their money in, or they go to take their money out. And there's no other word for it, but it sucks. They're going to go somewhere else. right? I mean, if you had to stand on your head and jump up and down to turn the light switch on, you'd have a problem with your electric company. That's why electric companies don't do that. If you had to jump through 10 hoops, 10 flaming hoops, stand on your head and, you know, stand upside down to deposit or withdraw, I'm going to lose your business. And so he is like the electric company that keeps us running, because without the ability to deposit funds or withdraw them, I'm out of business. All I am is an overblown app you can use to check scores and lines. I have no ability to generate revenue. And so, you know, it's kind of like if you've got a retail location, he's my credit card processor, right? I mean, have you ever been to a place? I was in a gas station the other day. The guy couldn't get the credit card machine to work. And I thought he and the clerk were going to get in a fight over the thing. It was a little overblown, but you know, you don't want to have that machine that try to stick your chip in again. Oh, that doesn't work. Swipe your card. Well, I don't know what's going on. Wipe your card off. You know, that's the kind of friction you see in person, but the kind of friction on a mobile device can be even more difficult because there's not a fella standing on the other side of the counter at the cash register to coach you through it. So without Chris's team, I can't have a frictionless experience. And remember, like I said earlier, and I'm repeating myself, I had three checklist items and two of them were easy deposit and easy withdrawal. I mean, my message would be this simple. If you are a sports book that has control of your own sports book, in other words, you're not stuck there with someone else's druthers. You want easy deposit, easy withdrawal with a known name with Global and the VIP customer base that they have as well. You got to call Global Payment Solutions. And I don't mean to sound like an infomercial, but he checked two of my three checklist items off. And I don't know what else to say other than kudos, because we spent all our time on the first item, a good interface. As a result, they took care of two of my three problems.
Okay. I mean, you do sound a bit like an infomercial.
I know, but wait, there's more.
That's a good infomercial. It's not one of those shit ones. Yeah. Yeah. Special offer just for people who are in Wales, by which we don't mean, you know, that dude in the Bible got in the whale. I mean, the country Wales, where I'm sitting right now. Anyway, I digress. Well, that's great. And I think we should all probably thank Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Well, my pleasure, sir. Thank you.
No, I mean for sorting Carlton out.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm sorted out. I just got sorted out on these three items, but I got other lists. No, this isn't a psychology podcast, is it?
No, it's barely even a gambling one.
Okay. Well, then I'll save my other issues to be sorted out for someone else.
A bit about Saracen Casino. So you said Saracen Casino has been around for 2.5 years. And I know that you and I have discussed this before, because we Carlton and I had a conversation when I did an interview with Carlton, and I can't remember the chap's name. Shit. From Inuvo for Casino International magazine. And the Inuvo chap has actually been on the podcast as well. So that does make me a bad person. But it's quite interesting. I mean, you essentially opened up and, hey, COVID kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, that's one of those issues. I probably have PTSD from COVID. But, yeah, we opened the doors wide open in the middle of COVID with dividers between our slot machines and masks on every patron and contact tracing requirements. You know, thousands of people through the door a day and trying to keep an eye on their contacts. It kept the surveillance guys busy in the event of a positive case. You know, and then we've dealt with Omicron and we've dealt with Delta. I may have said those backwards, but whatever order they came in, and I'm refamiliarizing myself with the Greek alphabet. I feel like a fraternity pledge again. We're trying to remember what these letters are and what order. Yeah, we opened in the midst of COVID. And, you know, the first few months were... they were just okay. But when we saw the masks come off, the cases go down, we really saw what this thing could do. And it was what we knew it could do. But of course, we'd been dealing with COVID all throughout the construction of this site. It was the biggest construction project in Arkansas in 2020 when it was constructed. It was, you know, money's tacky, but it gives you some idea of the scale here. It was about a $300 million build, 220,000 square foot building. And I can't do any media without talking about our food and beverage. We built a steakhouse that was named the number one restaurant in Arkansas. one of only 38 in America licensed to sell Kobe beef, most of them centered in California, New York, or Vegas. But here we are in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, with a Kobe license from the Japanese. So, you know, despite any hurdles that have been thrown at us, we've made it work. And we try to be smart with things like digital marketing, which is what you and I spoke about with Inuvo, another incredible Arkansas homegrown company. We're doing well. We're smiling here, and this sportsbook issue is just one more thing for us to smile about. It also allowed us to really broaden familiarity with our product outside of what I would consider our trade zone. You know, we're 40 minutes from Little Rock, which is the population center of Arkansas, the capital city. We're the closest casino to Little Rock, and so we traditionally focused our marketing efforts on Little Rock and the Little Rock suburbs. With Bet Saracen, we're now live in just about every market that touches Arkansas, including purchasing, advertising in external markets for places in the border that might draw their news from a Missouri station or an Oklahoma station or a Shreveport, Louisiana station or a Mississippi station. So it's allowed us that opportunity. I'll tell you too, I work with GeoComply and I look at our heat maps and I see the utilization of our app across the state, and it just makes me smile because Saracen has gone from being a highly known, valuable name in central Arkansas to a statewide entity in really just a few months on the power of sports betting. And I'll tell you this, I can advertise all day, and we do, but there's no better advertising or no worse advertising than word of mouth. And a key part of that word of mouth is positive customer experience, and deposits and withdrawals are really the place you get tripped up. Sure, you get complaints about, I want to make this weird bet or that bet. Why don't you have this bet? But the vast majority of customer complaints are about putting their money on so they can bet that they're jonesing to place a wager and getting their money out, especially the guys that have bet with the illegal offshores. They already know that getting your money in and off is hard, especially getting your money off the platform. So if you can provide an opportunity for them to get their money out quickly, you can convert the illegal folks into a legal taxable environment.
Awesome. In terms of, I mean, and I know obviously from speaking to you before that, you know, sort of Saracen's place in Arkansas in casino terms. But I mean, well, where do I start? So how long's the app been running?
The app started about a month ago. We started it in early May.
Any idea how many unique users you already have?
We are on the cusp of 10,000.
Okay.
Which we're very pleased with, and here's why. We're in a bit of a desert here, right? I mean, we do have college baseball to bet on and some pro baseball. Arkansas is a funny state. Folks love the Cardinals. Folks love the Rangers, and folks love the Royals. It sort of depends upon your proximity. Most Arkansas fans are Cardinals. But, you know, I will be completely honest. When the NBA finals are done, I think our handles will drop off. But, you know, I'm nothing but a circular conversation back to where we started, SEC. And Arkansas is a great basketball team, and they're a great baseball team. But this state is a football state first. And I think in August and September, we're going to see new users at numbers that are going to, they're going to test the strength of those servers that are housing our platform. We are really right now very pleased with signups, very pleased with the handle, very pleased with the hold, very pleased with the way everything's going. But this is kind of the calm before the storm. I keep making retailer analogies, but you know, retailers get real busy from Thanksgiving to Christmas. I kind of think about this like it's those months leading up to the Christmas rush. And we know come August, it's going to be Katie bar the door. And so we're doing everything we can to fine tune things, you know, a biometric addition to the app or, you know, this flow or that, things that don't necessarily have anything to do with Mr. Justice and global. But we're using this time to really refine an already good app in advance of what we know is going to be crazy, and that is college football season.
Yeah, I would have to believe that your handle starts really skyrocketing in August, getting ready for that September 3rd game against Cincinnati.
I got it circled on the calendar. I've crossed off my three items, and now I've circled that date on the calendar.
How big do you anticipate this becoming? I mean, I know you said you've been advertising outside of the area, but I mean, presumably, I don't know how populous Arkansas is, but how big do you hope, and how big realistically do you think this is going to be?
So we use a hybrid of two states for our projections, Tennessee and Louisiana. And again, I want to go back to right where I started. They launched in over a year, each of them. And we launched in 3 months, which would have been 1 month had it not been for some issues with the app stores. But we think if you look at Tennessee or Louisiana numbers and then adjust for population, you'll get about to where we are. Louisiana launched while football was still being played. You know, they had the Super Bowl rolling, and they had 3% of the adult population download and place a wager. We think when there is enough must-see sports TV that we'll do those kind of numbers. But I will tell you, with 10,000 users, and we've never disclosed that number publicly, but there you go, 10,000 users in a really a sports desert, having been open less than a month on the app, we're very pleased with our numbers. But how big will it get? Certainly big enough for me to spend the majority of my time for the last 5 months on it. The other thing that I think has to be said on a gaming podcast is the casino business has a very known clientele. They tend to be a little bit older. They tend to skew slightly female. And I know that generalizations are tough to make because every example, oh, well, my dad is a big slot player. Okay, I get it. Generally speaking, a little bit older, a little bit more female on slots. Slots are our primary and core business. This is more male and more young. And so it's an important addition because it's a new addition, right? It's like if you had a candle store and you start selling greeting cards, it's all incremental growth. So, you know, we have a retail sports book and it's done well, but you're never going to hit the lights out with a retail sports book simply because you can't really do in-game play. The prop availability is difficult at a kiosk or a window. But you look at our retail sports bettors, they are 80 to 90% male. And I'd say the same figure, you know, under the age of 45 or 50. That's not the face of our slot player. So again, this is like the candle store selling cards. It's incremental revenue in a new growth area for us. So we're happy with whatever may come, but based upon what we're seeing with what is out there to watch and wager on, we are so excited about this fall.
Super. And of course, it's a World Cup year, which I'm sure will have a massive impact in Arkansas. Well, maybe not. Chris.
Nobody's heard of the World Cup.
Well, the key word in the name is world, I think.
Hey, that's that Yeti with a picture of the Earth on it, right?
That's the one, yes.
Okay.
Chris, what are your thoughts on Cobra Kai?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. I haven't, I guess, very similar to Carlton. I haven't had the time to really watch that one yet.
But when you say it's similar to Carlton, Carlton's going to watch some tonight.
Well, if I can carve out the time, I'll figure out how to watch it. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'd appreciate that. Because I don't want Netflix feeling bad and me accusing them of bullshitting with their figures.
Hey, I did just start watching, this is kind of more my speed, I did just start watching something on Paramount, since we gave Netflix a shout-out, The Offer. It's a story of the making of the Godfather movie. You got to check that out. Y'all watch The Godfather across the pond, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, The Offer. Yeah. Highly recommended.
The movie that arguably changed movies more than any other.
Oh, God, yeah. Hey, The Great Debate, Godfather 1, Godfather 2, where do you go?
Oh, it's such a tough call. I mean, Godfather 2 is like, it's more slick, it's more polished. But Godfather, I'm probably going to go with number one.
Yeah, I got to go number two.
Well, you give us a shout when you come back. Tell us which Godfather you prefer.
No, I got to go Godfather 2.
Oh, sorry. I totally misunderstood that. Sorry, Carl.
Yeah. No, no, no. Hey, for your listeners, I am still sitting at my desk, and that is not where I go number two.
I was going to say, that's disgusting.
Yes. No, 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 no. Godfather 2. I got to go Godfather 2.
Oh, okay.
Well,
okay.
as another shout out, Inventing Anna is actually quite entertaining, since it's a true story about, you know, the little Russian immigrant who makes herself out to be some high-flying German heiress and convinces all kinds of New York financiers to give her money and do all these crazy things. It's a very interesting story.
And what breadth with the actress, right? That's the same young lady that plays the girl from the Ozarks in Ozark.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She is incredibly dynamic in both of those, right? And so super convincing. She does such an amazing job.
Well, I'll certainly commit to trying to find both of those on British television.
Well, I think it's a Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but Netflix doesn't show the same things in all territories.
I did watch the Ricky Gervais special. That's kind of British, right? The Netflix.
Yeah,
but can y'all get that?
Yeah, but he's not a stand-up comic. He's a comic actor. His comedy does nothing for me.
Well, he's no Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is the GOAT.
Well, Dave Chappelle did the old Prince basketball sketch with Charlie Murphy?
Charlie Murphy!
And that, just for that, he was just fabulous. But I'm thinking of Netflix. It's not on there now in the UK, but in the UK they did have, for all of 5 minutes, speaking of sports and the checkered history of betting on them, the movie Eight Men Out. Are you familiar with that one?
I don't know that one.
It's the story behind the Chicago White Sox betting scandal.
I got it. I'm writing this down right now.
It's a superb movie, written and directed by John Sayles. It's got a young and incredible. The cast is really incredible. You're talking about
the Rothstein fix? Is that the story?
The old Shoeless Joe and all that jazz.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it looks at the players and the actual reasons why.
So how about the most anxiety-ridden movie I've seen in years, the sports betting movie Uncut Gems? Have you seen that one?
I have not seen that. That's the Adam Sandler one, isn't it?
Take off the rest of the day, go home and watch Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. He plays a serious guy. He's kind of a Jacob the Jeweler type in the New York Diamond District. And, oh my gosh, you will want to call someone and get anxiety medicine halfway through the movie.
That's like the worst advert for a film I've ever heard.
I know, but you got to watch it. It's Adam Sandler, and the whole thing is about sports betting. Surely you've seen that one, haven't you?
Are you asking Chris or me?
Anyone. Anyone else in the room. I don't want to be the only one.
That was the sound of tumbleweed that you just heard.
Yeah. I know. Crickets chirping.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either.
Okay, you got Uncut Gems. You got to watch it. Stop what you're doing. Go watch Uncut Gems.
I am familiar with it, but I've got to go and look after my kids now. So
yeah. Well, if you want to show them, actually, it's like Leaving Las Vegas would be a great movie to show someone to get them to stop drinking. This would be a good movie to someone that might bet on sports a little too much. You might show them this one.
Well, Runner with Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake, I guess, would be another one, right?
Absolutely.
Illegal offshore betting.
Oh, are we supposed to be bigging up the gambling? No, it's fine.
Hey, we're transparent. I thought we were talking about movies, you know?
No, I'm appreciating the tips.
Well, I think part of it, though, is Runner is a perfect example about why the AGA is so intense, if you will, on really helping to promote legal U.S. sports betting and trying to tamp down, if you will, some of the anti-advertising kind of campaigns that are going on now, which, right, has certainly impacted Europe and Australia and some of these other places, because how else do you eliminate all of this illegal offshore betting if you don't continue to educate the populace on there are legal places that you can go to place these bets where you're safe, secure, and it's regulated, right? Like a BetSaracen, as opposed to going to illegalgaming.com where, yeah, maybe you do have trouble getting your money on and off and you don't necessarily know if the games are fixed or not. So part of the AGA's big promotion has really been around continuing to help educate and drive that positive advertising in a way to promote the legal sports betting market.
I have to tell you too a quick funny story. So right after Arkansas changed its rules to allow mobile sports gaming, and in that immediate period there, when before we launched and before our friends in West Memphis at Southland launched their product, there were radio ads being run on Little Rock sports talk stations from a name no one had ever heard of. And I got a call from a friend of mine in state government, and he said, "Have you ever heard of this company?" And I'm not going to say the name of the company because they're an illegal offshore company. They're running ads in Little Rock on sports talk radio saying, "Hey, sports betting is legal now in Arkansas. Don't miss out. Visit ... And it was a foreign country. They were trying to use the publicity, the earned media, the news coverage of the rule change to imply that now that it was legal, you could certainly make your deposits and bet in their book based in Antigua. So even wow. The boys in the Caribbean knew what the market potential was in Arkansas, and they were trying to sort of piggyback with a wink and a nod off of the credibility of legalized sports betting to direct you down a wormhole of illegal offshore betting. But I got so tickled. We got those ads taken down pretty quickly. The Attorney General of Arkansas is wonderful. Leslie Rutledge is fantastic. And her team jumped on it and said, "Hey, radio stations, we know you didn't know this, but these are not Arkansans. These are folks from Antigua that you're encouraging Arkansans to go illegally place their wagers with." But I got to tell you, we felt like we were somebody when the folks in Antigua knew what was going on in Arkansas and tried to slide in under our goodwill.
Wow, well, that is an amazing story.
Anybody would have felt like a big man on campus that day.
Yeah, well, you know, Arkansas, we get excited about stuff. We're usually last to the plate, not first. And by the way, another shout, you know, I continue to read about states in which they attempt to pass sports betting and it fails. And I'm not just talking about California or, you know, the big to-do in Florida, but, you know, other states, Missouri, Mississippi, you know, once one of the most important gaming states in America can't seem to get mobile together. So, you know, hats off to the people of Arkansas. They got done what many of our neighbors can't seem to pull off. And even in Tennessee, where the lottery runs it, they mandate a 10% hold. So we see a lot of traffic coming over the bridge from Tennessee into Arkansas at Memphis, and they place their wagers in Arkansas because our lines are more competitive because we don't have a mandated hold.
How short-sighted of them, not you.
Yeah, well, you can't start a business by declaring how much you're going to make on it. It doesn't work like that.
No, but the regulatory side of gambling is generally something that's always been set by people that don't understand it.
That's right.
And that's true worldwide, I'm sad to say.
I'm not so sure it's true in Arkansas, but that's a whole other conversation for another day. The Arkansas Racing Commission is full of businessmen who understand business, and they get it. And that's I love where we operate because they get it. And, you know, they know the difference between a big deal and a little deal, and they know when something matters and it doesn't. And again, they had the foresight and the timber, T-I-M-B-R-E, I think is the word, the timber to stand up when the national gaming brands said, no, the casinos don't need to be in control, we do. And they said, the hell they do. The amendment says the casinos place these bets. They don't say the casino loans you their license, you place the bets and send them a 5% dividend. So I would challenge you on that. I would put our regulator against any regulator anywhere on the globe because they're businessmen first.
Well, you got lucky.
We did get lucky.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to close proceedings there. Thank you both very much for your time today. Jump on the Cobra Kai bandwagon. That train is leaving the station. And thank you so much for your time. And good luck with everything. I mean, it does sound awesome. And maybe give us an update in 6 months where you can say either, oh, it's been shit, or do you know what? It's been all right.
Let's talk during football season, and then I can trash talk Tennessee, Arkansas with John. So it'd be great.
Well, Tennessee's had nothing to talk about since the late 80s, so I'll be remarkably silent on that topic.
Now, I will tell you, you know, our head of sports betting here is he's a Tennessee guy. So, you know, it may be that we could get into it with him. You may have a turncoat here on the team, but go Hogs, go.
Well, if I had to place a bet, I think that your future is bright starting in October when football reemerges. So we're looking forward to it, my brother.
And we're looking forward to you processing a lot of payments for us so we can tell our friends in England all about it.
Absolutely, woo-hoo, my friend. John, thanks for everything, my friend.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on Twitter under the handle @GamblingFiles. Find myself at RunJauntyRun, and Fintan, I think, is at Fintan Costello, although it is a very common name. Find us on LinkedIn under the Gambling Files podcast, and visit the website where you can sign up and subscribe, which is www.thegamblingfiles.com. Don't forget to find your Gambling Act review bingo card, which you can find on the LinkedIn page, maybe on the website as well. I don't know. We'll just message us and ask. And if you do like it, then feel free to share, tell your friends, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you soon. Cheers.